just like this right here. And then this or that thing. You say a cleaner. Now, are you talking about a cloth? It's gone. Well, I was just going to do it tonight in case. Man, let me look up here and see. Brother Matt is doing the. This is really the only one we need to do. And then, like you say, we'll get Brother Stephen to... he'll probably be here. I don't know. Like I say, I tried to call him a while ago and didn't get him.
updated it today, but then whenever he passed away this afternoon, I figured I'd go ahead and change it. Yes, sir. Okay.
Miss Adrian, she's our boss. Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank everyone for coming tonight, Wednesday night Bible study. We're going to worship the Lord tonight, but I have a few announcements I'd like to make first. We want to remember the announcement of the funeral of Brother Don Crawford. It's going to be this Friday, the 14th at 4 o'clock at Fry and Gibbs Funeral Home. They will see friends 1 hour prior to the service. North Texas Youth Hyphen Hangout, January the 14th. Monthly mission pledge is going to be January the 30th. And they're starting the Strawberry Fund brand, and you can leave them in here in the counter on the kitchen. So if y'all would just do that, they'd be greatly appreciated. We want to thank the Lord for allowing us to be here tonight. There's so many people sick tonight, and we're thankful that there's still some that are healthy, and we need to tote that load for those at this time when they're down and out. You know, he carried that cross when we was full of sin. He carried that cross at Calvary. He paid that ultimate price when we was down and out, and so now it's time for us to carry that load for these that are in sickness and need. And, you know, the Calvary, we can never, I was talking to Brother the other night, and I said, can't understand Calvary, and I can't understand God. And he said that every time that God does something, we always say, I'm amazed. And he said, we should never be amazed. That's what God does. He is amazing. And I told him, I said, that's because we're limited, and our minds only go so far, so we try to put a checkpoint on him and say, I'm amazed. And we should always be, it should be, you know, yes, it's breathtaking because that's God, but we're limited and we can't do what he can do. And so I'm so thankful for a mighty God that died on Calvary, that carried that burden, and that blood is for me and for you. You know, it's amazing what God does for people, and he paid that ultimate price. So we go ahead, and tonight, if you would like to give anything, we're going to do that online only because so many are out. So anybody that's online that would like to give, we'd like to take that offering that way tonight. You know, there's so many people out there in this world today that are begging for any believer, and in this church in particular, names that are never heard of before. And they're calling and they'll say, I know this church will pray. And the people are asking for prayer more than ever at this time. And you know why? Because God hears our voice and it works. There's a deal, it's called divine exchange. And it said that I give you my sin and my all unrighteousness for your resurrecting power. And we use that resurrecting power by our voice and asking God to touch these needs. And he said, if you'll just humble yourself and call out to me, I will do what you can't do, exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. So we'd like to take these names before the Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Because you no longer hear or see your prayers doesn't mean that that word does not work. It is ever working for you at all times, and it never stops. Many of our church members have come through mighty, mighty things. Myself is one. We're living testimonies. We're epistles, walking epistles, being written and read of by men. They're watching the God do work in our lives. And, we just need to keep stirring that gift up that's within us. Keep it stirred up. Because that's what's going to save us, is by keeping it stirred up. And keep telling each other, no matter what you're going through, you're going to make it. So we want to take in need tonight for the Crawford family. Brother Nathan and Sister Cindy. To bless that family and Brother Stephen, their son. Ken Sisk, I believe that's Brother Benny Brown's friend, stage 4 cancer. The Hoskins family, Brother Jack, I believe, lost his father. We want to pray for that family, that the Lord will lift them up in this time of their life, this trial. Tyler Bowden, very sick and still needs prayer. Steve Green is in the hospital and he needs healing. Brother David Young, he's a precious man full of faith in this church. He has heart issues. Let's ask the Lord to bless that situation. J.J. Freeland and family, they're feeling a little better, but they want to still ask us to continue to pray for them. Chris Vickers, that's a brother, sister, the Newberries, that's their son-in-law, that they're overcoming this COVID, you know. It's out there, and it's taking a lot of people out, but I know a God that's going to take care of this. We just got to keep bringing it up, and they keep asking him, bring these petitions for that effectual, fervent prayer that we're going to keep asking the Lord to bless them with. Cash Honea, he's a six-year-old with autoimmune disease. He's in Children's Hospital. Chris Schoenberger, Brother Paul, is Brother Paul's brother. He's in serious health in a situation. He needs a miracle. Brother Don Howell, I believe he's had surgery, and I believe he's recovering, but he still needs our prayers. As well as that, I'd like to say this real quick. Those that are suffering, those ones that are with them in their homes, they need prayer too because they're the caregivers of them, you know. And so we want the Lord to bless them. And, you know, the next name on this list is my name. And I want that name removed, but I want all these names removed. But, you know, I still need a healing in my body. And I'm thankful for a church that believes in the miracle working power of God. Brittany Wise, she has cancer. That's Juan Garcia that has cancer. And Brittany Wise, she needs prayer for her body. We want to lift up Brother Bob Bolton, Jimbo Thompson, Carol Hush, Sister Lois Weems, Paul Schoenberger, Charles and Nell Fleming, Sister Billy Bolton, D.D. Freeland, Brothers and Sister Alton Bristow, Kenny and Georgia McCool, Brother and Sister Dickey, Brother and Sister Proctor, Billy and Jeremy Tornado, and Triton Fritz. We also want to keep lifting up Brother Griffith. We're so thankful he's here tonight in person. The Lord is doing a mighty work in his life. It's so good to see you, brother. So good to see that testimony of God's healing power still working in man. We want to lift up Brother Randy Armstrong. He has a pretty good need in his life, and God's able to take care of that too. And we want to lift up our First Lady, Sister Meyer, for not being here tonight for whatever reason. That God knows that. God will take care of that. That we're going to bind together in one accord, one mind. That precious blood from Calvary. That precious blood from Calvary that's going to take away all this. So if we would bind together right now with one heart, one accord. Brother Ronnie Bolton, and let's go ahead and ask the Lord to bless his wife because she's going to be the caregiver for whatever's going on in that household. We're so thankful for those precious people, and we want the Lord to just touch them in a mighty, mighty way. If we would just come together before the throne of grace and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to bless these needs, Lord. God, we plead your blood, and we bind every force of darkness that would hinder us and hinder your kingdom and your people for your glory and your power, and your resurrecting and your healing spirit, God, to move in this place, to overshadow all unrighteousness, Lord. Let the healing balm of Gilead flow, O Lord. Let your spirit reign. Let the anointing flow. Let rivers rain, O God, over these situations. We plead your blood, Lord. We loose heaven, Lord. Let angels be in charge over this situation. Glorify your name, O God. Worthy is the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We thank you. We glorify you, Almighty Lamb. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Waymaker, the Lord of all creation. Glorify the Lord with me in your hearts. Lift the Lord up with all that is within you, with every breath you have. Lift him up right now. Lift him up for all those, Lord, that we intercede, God, on their behalf, Lord. And we praise your name and we glorify you, God. For you are the author and the finisher of our faith. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. You are the lily in the valley, O Lord. You are the rose of Sharon. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. There's none beside you, Lord. None can compare. Not one. Not none, Lord. You are my Lord and my God. And I thank you, Jesus. Glorify the Lord with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just want everyone to be inspired in the Lord tonight. You know, there's handicaps that come our way, but we're going to be, like Brother Sterling said, this is not just a fight. This is the fight of our lives. And that, you know, ministry never stops. God's word never fails. His inspiration never fails. This is the fight of our lives. Let's just go tonight and hear the word of God preached. Pastor's going to come and just give us an anointed word. It's going to educate us and move us forward. And we're going to plow back those gates of hell, and we're going to let angels in charge over all these situations. We glorify the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
While you're being seated and while we're moving into the next stage of this meeting tonight, I'd like to hear a couple of testimonies. In the middle of all that's going on, God has been so faithful and so great, and you know, in spite of all of the things that do happen, I continue to get many, many wonderful and nice reports. And so I'd like for you to have the opportunity to testify before I get into the word of the Lord. Is there anybody here that has a testimony, or is there anybody that wants to call in? Brother Griffith. Right. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Maybe one more. Brother Jeremy. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue our study in holy and righteous, and appreciate every one of you, and appreciate the fact that the Lord has a foundation that standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his because they take advantage of that foundation. And so I am just so excited about what God is trying to do about developing this last day revival that is going to happen. So at any point, I have not mentioned this, but I certainly don't mind being interrupted. Now, we're going to study this, the foundation of all that we live for, as far as our daily lifestyle. But the foundation is holy. And then from that, we move into what we call disciplines or standards. And sometimes they get mixed up. I remind you, and it's in part of my lesson, but in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now that is found in the Bible as a realization of a doctrine. It has to have two or three witnesses for it to be a doctrine. Now, it can be a help. It can be something that we lean on or an inspiration to produce in us. But as far as becoming a doctrine or something that we would call a necessity, it is it's got to be a foundational thing. And then you have what we call standards that cause us to be a living letter and a light in the world. And somewhere along the way, that it's so easy to get those mixed up. And people get to thinking because they do a standard that they are holy through and through. It's the opposite. when you get holy through and through, you want to do the other because you want people to know this phenomenal life-giving source that reaches out and tells people, I've been changed. I've been newborn. I have power working in my heart, mind, and spirit that I never had before. So be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And so these are great things that we look at. Holy has to do with becoming filled with Christ, the Word, which as we imbibe or receive the Word, we begin to eradicate or remove thoughts that would take up that space. The Bible makes it very clear a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So you cannot serve flesh and serve God. And so that whole concept of holy there is becoming filled with Christ. And that, of course, we have studied. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh. So anytime you receive the Word into your mind and it filters into your heart and the Spirit of it gets a hold of you, your life becomes holy. And along with being clean or holy comes the desire to wear conversational methods and dress styles and obedience to any inclination of God. Oh, God, well, if you like that. And I hear people from time to time say, well, it's only in the Bible once. Well, how many times does your husband or wife have to say it for you to believe that they might like that? We don't count that way. And so what I'm saying is that we are moving into this last day revival, and Christ-centered people are exactly this. They are filled with Him, and to have Him is to become holy because He is holy. There is no way to have Him and not have a desire for holy, because you either love the one or hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. He makes those statements very clear. And so what we as leaders and teachers are doing for our family is we're girding up the loins of our mind so that we have stability in a unique age when people misplace the concept. For instance, again, we go to the house of God. We are the church. We don't go to the church. We go to the house of God. There's nothing really wrong with saying that, but the concept is I've been to Him. He is the head of the church. And a lot of people don't get that, so I'm having to try to go back and create a high-level sensitivity, and the high-level sensitivity is this. If your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Those are huge statements, but they're not always verifiable in the general trending of things. We would not dare. I spray this auditorium every Saturday night, and I always do it in the fashion of if somebody asks me, Pastor, how do you know you got this? If you watched me, you might not think I got some corners of the building. Well, what my answer is very simple. If you watch me spray poison, all you got to do is decide if you'd sit over there. The Bible said, be ready to give a good answer for the hope that lies within you. I guarantee you that nobody would sit anywhere in this building if I sprayed poison. No matter that you might not have seen it land, I try to make sure it lands on every bench and all up over the platform. But I can assure you, if they thought that was poison going out of there, they probably wouldn't even come in the building. And then others, where the enemy tries to work, is put fear in the heart that the spot I'm sitting in might not have got taken care of. So does that make sense? So, holy happens through desire to become Christ. We begin to grow in grace and in knowledge, and the more we continue to grow in grace and knowledge, the more pure we are, and we'll get to some scriptures that in a few minutes that help designate the promises of God and the powers of God that are loosed in our life because we become holy people. And so these are things that are huge. So Proverbs 18:1 says, through desire a man separateth himself, and I've always enjoyed that word, intermeddleth, unto all wisdom. Well, you can't have the wisdom and knowledge of God and entertain devils. You can't have the wisdom and knowledge of God because they are perfect light, and demons hate light. And so when we become filled with the Word and we separate ourselves from letting the flesh direct our direction and our vision and letting the flesh tell us you got to have this in order to be happy, and your flesh tell you got to have that to be happy, and you can't be happy if you discipline your flesh, that lying spirit is loose in this world. You can be one of the happiest people in the world and not do sin. And you can do all the sin you want and be the most unhappy, ready to kill your wife or husband. I'm watching it every week. And so holy is a big thing. And through desire, a man separateth himself and intermeddleth unto all wisdom. And the wisdom of God is holy. So again, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And I know I've used that several times lately, but I'm going to keep on using it because it is an emphatic. It's just like your mother saying, you got to eat breakfast. Nobody ever gets too mad about got to eat breakfast again. But if I repeat something 5 or 6 times, well, we heard that last week. Did you get it was the key. Did you start practicing it? How many times did your mother have to tell you about training to brush your teeth and get the earwax out of your ears and get the dirt out of into your fingernails and all of that kind of stuff? And then we still have to remind ourselves every now and then we didn't brush our teeth. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When you... Brother Matt, would you just slip up here where they can still pick us up on the camera? Maybe you need to come up on the platform. Okay. And so be ye holy is to imitate the one that is holy. So if you'll get over here. And what happens is, follow me, Paul said, as I follow Christ. In other words, I'm going to follow a holy God. And so if I follow him, I'm going to find myself walking in holiness. And so all of a sudden, you're just going to have a desire. If you know that Jesus can lead you through a graveyard and you want to follow him, and you're not going to miss a step because you don't want to be left in the dark. I don't want to be left in the dark. I want to stay close enough to the light that I can see every footstep. I can see every print. I can see everything that's going on. And I thank you. Thank you, sir. Let's give him a little hand for helping here in this great meeting tonight. So obedience is better than sacrifice, because he could go over here and give somebody $100 and say, I'll be whole. But if he's going to follow Jesus, that's better than sacrifice. It's huge to understand stuff like that. And so what happens is, as you follow Jesus, you find yourself moving ever upward and laying aside more of the cares of this world and more of the sinful nature of this world. And the first thing you know, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I've watched people sing that while they're looking at their watch to see if they can get out in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best trip you'll ever take. There is nothing out yonder that can lead you to where he lives right now. And so following the word and obeying the word brings about a new generating energy every day. I'm following Jesus each step of the way. Find his footprints and you'll find freedom. Find his word and you'll find energy. Find his presence and you'll find glory. I'm talking to somebody that God has appointed you a future tonight. He is bringing in it right into your landing strip, and he's going to disperse his goods. That's what holiness is. And holiness is it's obedience. And it's all about desiring to please the Lord of glory. Somebody say, here we go. I put that in there because I wanted us to all get together right there. Here we go. We're going for holiness. We're going for the righteousness of the King. We're going for the signet on his hand. His signet means I've got authority over every demon, every source of energy that would destroy the people of my name and the people of my spirit and the people that are on their way to my city. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. And we're going to rule and reign. And you may want to write Isaiah 32 down, because I want you to know that that's part of a holy city, and it's going to take a holy people to populate a holy city. Joel looked way beyond when he was writing in his writings. And Joel 2 and 21, fear not, O land. And then it goes from fear to be glad. He said, if you want to be glad, you got to leave your fears over here. Fear not. Don't handle fear and let it paralyze your brain so you're not sure if you're going to heaven. You're not sure if you can do it. You're not sure if God is able. I'm telling you, holiness is a whole lot bigger than the way we dress. Holy means I serve one God. I serve a holy God. I live for a holy God. I live in the Holy Word. I live in the Holy Ghost, and I have holy blood. I am in Christ, a brand new creation. All things have passed away, and all things are becoming new because I'm getting a new bloodline, and all things are gone. Oh, I wish somebody'd stand up and praise him right now. Even in your living room, it wouldn't hurt you to stretch a little bit, and let's praise the name of the Lord. He's listening. The Bible said his eyes are roving to and fro over the face of the whole earth, looking for a place to show himself strong. I pray healing somewhere in this city right now. Somebody that's worshiping with us, I'm praying healing into your body. I'm praying the spirit of victory get a hold of your mind. I can do all things. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm an obedient child, and therefore I know the blessing to the Lord that maketh rich are going to be added to my life. I am in Christ. Hallelujah. So be not afraid, ye beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. A tree beareth fruit, a fig tree and the vine yields their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He hath given you, I wish somebody'd say me, the former rain moderately. This is Joel looking across the mountains of time. This is Joel who put his clock in the basket and said, look, he is from everlasting to everlasting. I want to see what this is all about. And he said, I want to tell you what it's all about. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He hath given you the former rain moderately, but he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain, both are coming. I'm here to tell you a double portion is on its way. say to America, to the American people that look up and let them know that my redemption draweth nigh. I'm fixing to get a double portion, and I'm not going to miss the boat. I'm not going to miss the present. I am going to walk in the Spirit. I am going to follow the Messiah. I'm going to try to get myself to obey everything I can obey about Jesus Christ, because I want everything He's got. And if I obey Him, I get the goods. So, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. Somebody say pure, holy rain. Floors full of wheat, more than their heart could wish. And then you take it to the New Testament, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Ladies and gentlemen, He's on your side. He just wants you to get on His side. He has already come to this earth. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now He's beckoning us, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden and burdened down and all that stuff. Quit dragging your feet in the world. Get your head in the heavens and get your feet on the holy rock of ages. And let's let God do the big stuff. He's the one that reversed the river. He's the one that steals the storm. He's the one that heals the broken heart. He's the one. He alone. There's only one source. And the more we obey Him, the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And then He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with all that stuff. I'm going to restore to you, Mom. I'm going to restore to you, little sweetheart wife. I'm going to restore to you all the stuff you lost way back yonder. I'm going to give you the joy that you should have had way back yonder. I'm going to give you the peace and power you should have had a long time ago. I'm going to give you the wisdom you should have had 20 years ago. No. I'm going to restore to you all. The floor shall be full of wheat. The wheat, that's the bread. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the glory. I am the Spirit that can create a revival that you can't stop. I'm on the way. You can stop it is just turn your faith off and say, I'm going to trust in flesh. I'm going to trust in the wisdom of the world. I'm going to trust in all the things the world can provide me. No. Calvary got it all. Calvary got it all. I said, Calvary got it all. That's why we live close to the cross. He said, take up your cross and follow Me, and I will make you over again. I will make you fishers of men. I will give you bread that will always feed your body and spirit and soul and heart and mind. I am the Lord and I change not. It's impossible for Him to lose His sense of direction. It's impossible for Him to lose His virtue. It's impossible for Him to lose His love. He would be less than God if He didn't love you and want to forgive you and want to cleanse you and want to empower you. He wants a holy wife. He wants a holy bride. He wants somebody to share a holy city with. He wants a holy, righteous nation. And that's why our pastor is preaching, come unto Me, go unto Him. Pray every morning. Pray every day. Seek the face of the Lord. Don't stop. Don't give up. Worship Him in the middle of a crisis. The jails can't hold worshipers. You shall eat in plenty and be what? We used to sing an old song, satisfied, satisfied. I wish I could sing. And praise the name of the Lord. There's coming a day when it's not going to be hard to stir up a praise. Our appetite is going to take us into that pantry that never is empty. It's going to be so natural to praise Him, because as the drought of love, the drought of peace, the drought of joy, you can't find joy in the biggest gift in the world. You may get a feeling over a new car, and you may get a feeling, and you call it joy, but joy is a spirit that don't fade. That's why I said it's joy unspeakable. Because when you get the river of joy flowing, I'm going to tell you, all you got to do is begin to worship him for everything he's ever done. And you'll crank up the pump that pumps up the joy, that pumps up the victory. Joy is a spirit that every human must have to stay married. Joel's prophecy concerns the heart. I beseech you, brethren, look at Romans. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now, I want to mention to you that you can't go unto the world and still do the evangelistic thing. Okay? So you want to be careful with this scripture. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, to avoid them. In other words, don't try to kill somebody that's trying to kill you. There's some people that are getting away from God and holiness and godliness, and then they start with standards. The standards are too cumbersome for the people that are not holy. Standards fit Holy Ghost people. I didn't know that years ago. So you're catching it after many studies on the fact. I'm going to tell you, it is as natural to be clean as it should be when you enjoy clean living. And then you don't want to wear anything that gets you looking filthy. You don't want to talk like the world, and you don't want to walk like the world, and you don't want to run with the world, because they try to get rid of all their problems with drugs and alcohol and trying to dress in a way to impress everybody. We're not here for that. We're here to walk in the light and live in the light as we are in the light. And we don't need the world's ways in order to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we don't have to feel like a sourpuss and an outcast because we don't smoke, drink, and do all the other junk. We are here in freedom. I'm as drunk as I want to get. I am free from all of my problems. I lay them at the feet of Jesus every morning. I put them at the feet of Jesus every night. And I promise you, I have more freedom than the worst drunkard. I have more freedom than the biggest drug addict. I have more freedom, I promise you, than any of those people, because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. And that is the word, and that is the spirit of truth, and the glory of the resurrection. And it comes into your life and it actually empowers you. I wish somebody take some time and praise him. It's okay. He's looking down. He hears you. He knows your heart. He loves praise. The Bible said he inhabits the praise of the people. I encourage you in your living room. I encourage you in your car. Spend a couple of minutes with us right now praising the Lord. Watch sickness wane. Watch power come in. You may be able to only whisper it, but give him some real praise. And let the healer get a hold of the situation. Let the deliverer get a hold of the situation. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly. I am fired up for a reason. He couldn't be here, so he sent me to get you fired up about his business, about his power, about what holiness really is. For they that are such, contrary to the doctrine, he said, avoid them, because they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus. So go into a building called a church and go into the house that's called the house of God. doesn't necessarily mean that we're obedient to God. This is moving it to a whole new dimension. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words, fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple don't mean stupid. It means people that don't know the word of the Lord. They simply trust in flesh. They simply trust in feelings. They simply follow somebody that looks like to them a success. These are the people that he calls simple. Deceive the hearts of the simple, not studious. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. And Paul says, I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil or unholy. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I'm telling you, you don't have to wait forever to get Satan where he belongs in your life. You walk uprightly, you walk holy, you live holy, you talk holy stuff, you live holy stuff, you let holy power run in your home, and you will put Satan under your feet shortly. Grace, the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Don't you love it? Somebody give him a hand clap. Why don't you? He's still alive. So our decision is, do we truly get as hungry and thirsty for righteousness, peace, and joy as we do to go eat McDonald's or go to some other place and spend a lot of money? And I'm not against that. I'm just saying this is time for us to look at what we really get hungry for and get anxious to do. What is it? I mean, I'm going to keep going on vacations. But I promise you this, that I have not been on a vacation in a long time. That has done for me what a good Holy Ghost church service and good preaching at conferences and camp meetings has done for my life and for our family and for our home and for this church family and for our city. I'm here to tell you one good camp meeting, hallelujah, can outrun anything that I have been involved in this life. I know this, that some of the preaching that I experienced last year was just awesome. My feet still feel the vibrations of being around Holy Ghost people, around the preaching of the word, that anointing that comes at our camp meetings, that comes in our church services. Some of you have prayed me through. You didn't even know that, did you? I watched you pray and I wanted to get involved. So our decision is, do we hunger and thirst after righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, or do we just take it every now and then and say, look, I like to play with that, hold it in my hand a little bit, like to throw it around a little bit for the kids to hear, but really, I'm so anxious to do all this other stuff. I can't hardly wait for this. I can't hardly wait to get in his presence again. I can't hardly wait to hear preaching again, because we come from faith, to faith, the Bible said, and we grow in grace according to the faith that comes to another level of faith, and then we grow in faith and we keep growing in faith, and the first thing you know, you're absolutely walking in Christ, a new creature and a new creation, and the devils are scared to death of you, and the powers of hell are scared to death, because scared we're going to have another revival and an explosion that'll rock this whole city. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm preaching for. That's why we're upgrading the spiritual economy. Our kids deserve to know what it was like years ago when mamas and daddies got beside themselves in the Holy Ghost, and they weren't drunk and intoxicated with drugs. They didn't get out of their dilemma with drugs and stuff. They couldn't get out with that. But we found an altar that is an absolute necessity. Hallelujah. Take all of your gifts to the altar, the Bible said. Get your gifts and go to the altar and say, God, here's my worship. Here's my praise. Here's my consecration.
Here's my commitment. And God, I will not turn around. I will not turn back. I will not look back at Lot's wife as Lot's wife did. I will look unto the city that you're calling me to, a holy city, a God-filled city, a righteous city. Oh, I wish somebody would praise him like he deserved. The writer said it this way, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Do you see that deteriorated heart? That's where most people are living, half-hearted. Everything's not working out right because their heart's not right. An evil heart cannot pump the power that delivers through your life. So the writer says in Psalms 51, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Harden not your hearts, he said, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years, I fed them, and they didn't have to labor. I broke oceans open, or rivers, the Red Sea, the Jordan. I roll back all of that, and they do always err in their heart. And have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. That's where a lack of appreciation and thankfulness took that nation. I'm not willing for your nation to go down like that. We ought to get revved up. That children's church, I can't thank y'all enough for keeping that alive. Thank y'all. I grew up in some of that kind of stuff. I still live off of some of that stuff. Those scriptural memorizations, I still feed off of that stuff. 1 Corinthians 13, that you've heard me preach the message, the greatest fish I ever caught. I got a goldfish because I memorized 1 Corinthians 13 in De Quincey, Louisiana before I ever reached the fourth grade. I will never forget that. I can quote most of it right now because I memorized it when I was in children's church. Got a goldfish. My mother made me kill it, but here we are. Holiness begins in the heart. Somebody say it begins in the heart. Lest there be in any of us, I think it's in the next frame, but I just want to make sure I get it with that picture. Lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief. That's why we have church services real regularly. Keep the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Blind leaders of the blind, hopefully not here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, I don't know if even God can do that. I'm not sure that God wants to do that. I don't even know if God loves me. Get that stuff under your feet. Know that He alone is God. And nobody else went to Calvary for you. No one else has kept the church alive for you. No one has kept the blood ready for you. No one has kept a name so pure as His as He has His. No one has done that. Why in the world we have a struggle worshiping a sovereign God who has not lost one ounce of His credibility. He is not bankrupt. He has an ocean of forgiveness. He has a wisdom that reaches to the sky. And I'm telling y'all, we got to do is climb the ladder. The more wisdom we obey and the more powers we obey, the more glory we start seeing, and the more we climb out of inferiorities and all these weaknesses. I'm here to tell you, as long as you're in the flesh, you're going to struggle with flesh. But if you walk in the Spirit and lean not to your own understanding, you got a highway of holiness, and you got a highway of victory, and you got a highway of purity, and you can't get better than any of that. I'm here to tell you, there's nobody anywhere that has an offer that can even get close to that stuff. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? You know what? God shows up. That's where you see him. You're not going to see him out there. You're going to see him in a brand new thought that puts you in a brand new dimension. And all of a sudden, you're going to obey that thought. And then that's when they start seeing God. He really does work. I think I'll take another step of faith. I think I'll obey another truth. I think I'll live a little bit longer in that truth. I think I'll just move out of all that dirt and move into a holy place where he lives, where he thrives, where he looses things. I think I'll just be holy. I think I'd like to be holy. Preacher, don't quit preaching holiness. Preach it, preach it, preach it. Help me to stay clean. Blessed are the pure in heart. Is this thing? Yeah, there it is. When we sense and see the Lord working in our lives, we know that we've cleared out stuff. Because there is a way that seemeth to be no way. The reason it seems to be no way is we're staring at stuff. We're trying to get through this world with stuff. Holy things is what's going to make a path of righteousness. It's going to make a path of joy. It's going to make a path of peace. I can promise you the pomegranates live on the highway of holiness. I can tell you the olive oil of healing is thriving on the highway of holiness. I can tell you that the glory of strength and power of a sound mind is on the highway of holiness. I'm telling you, when you get in the holy place and you walk uprightly before God and eschew evil, I'm here to tell you, he's going to clear the way, and your heart is going to be happy, and your life is going to be clean, and you'll be able to sleep in peace at night, and you'll wake up in the morning with new, fresh vision. On the other side, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. All three of those are pretty easy to come by when you serve flesh. I'm better than you. I'm having victory and not really having it. And hands that shed innocent blood. I want to tell you something. Now, you can't afford to tell anybody else, because if it got out, it would hurt their feelings. And then I want to call holy. Holy? Because I dress a certain way? He said, cleanse your hearts, not your garments. He was not against the way you dress. Believe me. He said, you shall know them because of the way they look. Because their spirit will be so powerful. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations.
I got to get on the other side of the church from him. I got to get on the other side of the church from her.
Wicked imaginations. No, holy came right into my sinful camp. He came right into my encampment and said, I want to make an abode with you. I want to come into your world. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to shine lights that will cause you to know I am the way, the truth, and the light. And no man comes to the source of all of this stuff but by me. I am the door. I am the path. I am the righteousness of the King. I am the glory of revival. I am that I am. I'm here to tell somebody today, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly. Joel saw it from way over yonder in history. He said, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a revival that's going to take all the stale, going to take all of the dirt, and going to take all of everything that hasn't been, and all of a sudden it's going to spring up, and there's going to be a well in the desert. There's going to be wonderful fruit in the middle of a crisis. There's going to be a wonderful church come out of the wicked world. I'm here to tell you, God's getting that bride ready right now. Could we worship him? A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's what holiness is not. You can't outdress that kind of spirit. You can't cover up the stink of backbiting, of jealousy, of envy, and strife. Just can't cover it up. The smell keeps coming out. Holy is when you cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. And when you get that clean, you don't want to dress like the filth of the world out yonder. Homosexuals, sodomites, adulterers. Their songs won't mean to you what they mean to me. That's what he's saying. I'm not talking about me right now. I'm talking about to God. Their songs don't worship him. And I can't imagine anybody wanting to feed their kids stuff to worship a human that is living in an adulterous situation with hate and jealousy and envy and strife, and then having a hard time creating an atmosphere for them to live holy and godly and in the fear of the Lord. Perversion is taking over your world. We cannot afford to forget that. And you can't cover it up with dress attire. That's why I told you about Brother Mullins last week. It's because he said you can't dress yourself into it, but you can dress yourself out of it. Because people know who you are, and that's why I want to let people do their own thing, because I want everybody to know what they really are. I'm not going to try to force one more person to live holy. Not going to do it. I did that for years. I walked out of that church in Ohio, and I hadn't been gone 2 years till two of the new converts were in bed with each other as two ladies. And they started dressing because that's the way I did things then. I took up a gum offering one night because I had a guy sitting over there chewing gum, and I'd seen that happen with an elder in my life years ago. And the guy came to me, he's a businessman. I didn't even know him. He was a businessman. And he came to me and he said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. I can appreciate you saying that you don't want people chewing gum in church, but I got halitosis, and my breath smells so bad. When I don't chew gum or have something in my mouth, it just stinks. And so he said, I won't be bothering you anymore. I followed people that wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. I don't mind confessing that to you, because I feel shamed, because I thought, because I'd seen that happen in another setting, that I would be more of a God man. The race is not to the swift. Wisdom and purity is the thing that keeps us. James 4 and 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And what? The word humility typically means obey. Instead of doing what you want to do, you obey the Lord. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. I know I shouldn't say this, but tell them right then. If you know you shouldn't say it, don't get my ear full of it. They've already confessed their heart is fighting the idea. I don't want to go to heaven and have blood on my hands because I took tithe and didn't preach him. That's huge. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Only know one judge. That doesn't mean you don't follow the other scripture that said rebuke somebody. But you've got to make sure that that is a rebuke of love and you know that they have violated a spiritual law. The lawgiver who's able to save or destroy, who are you, the Bible said in James 4 and 12, who are you that judges others? Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. At 75 years, you don't have long against the eternity. You say, Pastor, you're preaching hard. Do you have any idea how long eternity is? You will have wished I preached 3 hours if you missed that rapture thing. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. And do this or that. Now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is what? Man, I finally reached the place where I can own anything I want, have anything I want. Now I don't really need much real deep intercessory prayer. Now I really don't need to hear that much from God because I've got everything I need. I've got this and that. And man, I never dreamed I'd have this much. The more we have of this earth, the more we need to pray that that stuff not get a hold of us. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. More likely for you to make it than not. 2 Corinthians 6. What concord or relation hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? There's nothing wrong with trying to win an infidel. But when being with an infidel or an unbeliever is more exciting than being with a believer, something is missing. That's why he said, what fellowship hath light with darkness? It's critical. He came to seek and to save. So he did run around with some people, but only to heal them, to feed them. And as long as they were on the mountainside, he would keep breaking fishing loaves because they were there listening to him. But he didn't go to their meetings except to tear their church apart. He turned over the money changers in the temple. He ran stuff out of the temple. Because religion was faking people out. What agreement at the temple of God with idols? Somebody say, my body is my temple. My body is his temple. And I don't want a bunch of crud in his temple. I gave him this temple years ago. And I will not let the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eye take it over again. Now, don't misunderstand me. Yes, I'm tempted. Oh, yeah. Many things call for me. But I have decided he's worth it all. So that doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean I don't do error. I promise you that there are days I let my spirit get out of whack. But there is an altar that's always open for the pastor, for the people, and you can always bring your sacrifice to him. He said he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. Years ago and this afternoon. And will be a father. Somebody say a source unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A double-minded man is what? I'm going to serve God today, but boy, I'm going to let flesh have its way tomorrow. A holy God doesn't give up quickly. You look like him. Brother Matt, you look like him. You're made in his image. Yeah, you are. Each one of you are. And he don't want anything that looks like him that doesn't have his spirit populating his holy city. He's just not going to have it that way. So the pastor teacher is obligated and enjoys helping. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I've said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. That's a true pastoral heart. Where does condemnation come from? I've only mentioned it three times since the first of the year. The Bible makes it very clear. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. But he said, this is the condemnation, that you hear truth and you turn it down. The action comes from the unbelieving. And the condemnation of what we call good Holy Ghost preaching, the condemnation comes that people heard how to be holy and decided to live like they wanted to, and they felt condemned because the light got turned on and found them out. It's huge. Condemnation is not something a man can put on you. Condemnation is a spirit that happens when you know to do good and you didn't do it. And the Bible says it very clearly. This is the condemnation. They would not obey the word. So love your neighbor as yourself. And if that don't happen, you can just count on it. You'll be feeling condemned. And you will find lack of fruition, fruitfulness of righteousness, peace, and joy. The whole idea of forgiving somebody and loving your neighbor as yourself is to get rid of any condemnation that would restrict, hold back, or chain you to a historical event or a situation. You hate evil. You don't hate the person that's committing evil. So great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in the middle of my tribulation. We didn't lie about that. He sang praises to God at midnight in a jail when he'd been beaten, because his flesh, he knew, was wicked anyhow. But he knew his relationship with God had not been jeopardized. So in the middle of a crunch, in the middle of a crisis, he could praise the Lord, and God sent an earthquake and shook the jail till the doors fell open. It converted a jailer, and all of a sudden, man, there are things are happening that nobody could imagine. I'm telling you, that's some of what's going to happen in this day. It's not going to be exactly like that. You're probably never going to wind up in jail, because everybody that's here tonight and those that are listening are people that are just nice people. But I'm trying to tell you that we've got a right and a need to witness to people and to be in a position of authority and to be in a position of light in a world that is sitting in darkness. You say, Pastor, you're preaching hard. Do you have any idea how long eternity is? I've seen people less than a month or two of suffering say, man, I've been in this forever. And you call it forever? No, forever is never getting out. No hope. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Anybody ever been there? Fear that I wouldn't be able to preach good. That I wouldn't last day to hold a candle to what the need was. Yes. We all come to those places, but we don't stop because only God can reach out there and touch the person that I'm praying for. Except the Spirit draw them. They will not come. That's why we've got to have revival. Renewings of the Holy Ghost. Renewings of why we came to God to start with. Renewings of why we need more of the preaching of the word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. We are troubled on every side. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. One man could comfort the whole crowd because he brought joy from another world. He brought victory from another world. He brought a revival with a preaching and a sermon, just a voice of God, a man named Titus. He might not come tonight, but if he does, be ready. This is the third time, Paul said at the church at Corinth, I am coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present a second time. And being absent now, I write to them which therefore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Somebody say, I will not spare. Say, Pastor, don't spare. That's right. Spare the rod, spoil the child. He said, Pastor, you preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. That's my obligation from the captain of this whole show. It's huge. I fear, Paul said, just a few things. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. Talking about the Lord. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of the Holy Ghost, or God toward you, faithful and just to forgive us as we confess and ask. There's not one sin that you can't get rid of. There's not one decrepit point that you can't get rid of. Rise above it. Help your neighbors to rise above it. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So the Word, when you trust the Word, you're trusting God. When you're trusting the Word, you're trusting the blood. When you trust the Word, you're trusting the Holy Ghost. When you trust the Word, you're trusting in a heaven. I'm talking to somebody tonight. God is arresting your future because you have somebody in your world that you're fixing to drag out of the gates of hell. You're about to drag somebody into eternal life. Your testimony is going to do it. Hang in there. Don't you give up now. Yes, we're all weary and we're working hard, but let me tell you, it's going to be worth it all to drag yourself to another prayer chamber in the morning and to drag yourself yourself to read, to live the word, and to worship God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he will revive in you the revival of Joel's prophecy. I will in the last days raise up a revival that wheat and corn is going to come your way. You're going to see a revival like you never dreamed of. Come on, UPC, let's hang in there. Worship when you don't feel like it. Raise to serve the Lord when you don't feel like it. And let's have revival. I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobate. How long was that? It's going to last a lot longer than I preached. Because you got it. Okay. Okay. You may have only been, how long was that revival, that preaching? What? The whole church service or preaching? 1 hour and 15 minutes? Man, there's people watch a ball game longer than that. Get a whole lot less out of it for raising their kids. Got other fish to fry. Thank you for being online. We're going to cut the online off. And I'd like for everybody to gather around the front. Don't have to get real close. Those of you that are a little apprehensive, don't feel bad about it. But sister, I want you to come right here. Okay. Okay. Hold on just a minute.